Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Our text for this morning is from the book of Job in the 19th chapter, where God's servant Job says this: He has put my brothers... Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with iron pen and lead they were engraved in rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. This is the word of the Lord. I suppose this story has been told in a variety of ways, but it illustrates so well the heart cry of all of humanity. It's the story of a 4-year-old boy who woke up in the middle of the night, in the middle of a violent storm, frightened by the flashes of lightning and the crashes of the thunder, and he cried out for his mom. Mom dragged herself out of bed, and she went down the hallway to her son's room. She reassured him that everything was okay, that there was no need to be afraid of the dark or of the storm, because God is always with us and His angels are watching over us. She kissed him on the forehead, tucked him back into bed, and then she went back to bed. It was maybe just 1 minute, and she heard her son crying out for her again. So she got up, and as she stepped into the hallway, her little boy was standing there in the doorway of his room, frozen in fear, afraid even to come down the hallway to her parents' room. When you're a 4-year-old boy on a stormy night, that hallway looks to be 5 miles long, with multiple doors behind which are lurking giants waiting to jump out at little kids. So mom came to him again, and she said, "I told you, you don't need to be afraid. God is with us always." And then the little boy said, with tears in his eyes, "Yeah, but I want someone with skin on." Job knows a thing or two about long, dark, scary hallways. Come with me on this holy morning to that God-forsaken ash heap where Job sits there with his head shaved, sores all over his body. His 10 children all died in a sudden windstorm that destroyed the home where they were partying. Marauding bands and fire from heaven had taken all of his animals and killed all of his servants. He had been reduced from his former position as the greatest man in all the East to this pitiful, ghastly shell of a man, scraping sores for relief with shards of pottery. Many lurking giants had jumped out at Job and had done their worst to him. On this Day of Days, the resurrection of our Lord, we wrap up now our sermon series on the book of Job, and our text today is the crown, the most famous passage from this book. "I know that my Redeemer lives." Now, does this knowledge of a living Redeemer insulate us from life's tragedies? No, it does not. But it does mean that we don't have to be intimidated or destroyed by them, because we have someone to walk with us through life's long, dark, scary hallway. And he has skin on. "I know that my Redeemer lives." This verse, this confession of Job, is the apex of the book of Job. It is the Mount Everest of all of the words that Job has spoken. And this morning I invite you to climb that mountain with me all the way to its summit. So we begin at the base camp where Job says, I know, I know. Now remember, Job is living his, well, and everyone else's worst nightmare. Job had said in chapter 3, what I feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. Can you imagine all of your worst nightmares happening to you all at the same time? And yet, Job does not say, I kind of think my Redeemer lives, although certainly we would not fault him for wavering in his faith, given what he has been through. But he doesn't say, I hope, or wouldn't it be nice if, or knock on wood, maybe. No way. Job has been severely assaulted, but he is not defeated. He is, as Paul said to the Romans, he is struck down, but not destroyed. And his giants could not destroy him because the shield of his faith had extinguished all the flaming arrows of the evil one, so that he can still say, I know, I know. Oh, there is so much that we don't know. We don't know why you had to bury the love of your life. We don't know why your child turned against you, or why you lost your job. We don't know why your parents emotionally abandoned you, or why you got that disease. But instead of living in whimpering sadness when we don't know what God is up to, instead of letting these giants beat us up, we dare to say with Job this morning, oh, there is so much that I don't know, but this I do know. I know my Redeemer. And with that, we have climbed a little higher up the slope of this Mount Everest of Job's confession. I know my Redeemer. In the Old Testament, your Redeemer was a close relative, someone with skin on, who could rescue you or ransom you if you were in danger of being removed from your family by poverty or war or a bad economy. And so, for example, if you fell into debt and you were forced to sell yourself into slavery to pay that debt, your Redeemer could redeem you and purchase you out of your slavery and set you free. Or if, to make ends meet, you had to sell some property that had been in the family for generations, your Redeemer could redeem that property and buy it back for you so that the property remains in your family. Or if a member of your family was hurt or killed, your Redeemer could also redeem that situation and pursue legal options to collect damages for you. Whatever goes bad in life, your Redeemer can make good. Let me repeat that. Whatever goes bad in life, your Redeemer can make good. What is broken, your Redeemer will mend. Every injustice, your Redeemer will make right. What is lost, your Redeemer will restore. And what is dead, your Redeemer will make alive. Yes, even that. That's what Job confesses. That his Redeemer can redeem us even from death. After my skin has been destroyed, he says, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Now how can he talk like that? It's because as he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. And my Redeemer is not some mystical, abstract, impersonal, vague force or idea. My Redeemer has skin on. And in that skin, he bears whatever needs to be born. He carries whatever needs to be carried to redeem my life for God. I was guilty, so my Redeemer took the fall. By my sin, I deserved the death sentence, so my Redeemer served that sentence for me. I owed to God the debt of my offenses, so my Redeemer paid that debt. My Redeemer will do whatever it takes to set me free, even giving himself into death as payment, that he might forgive my guilt and destroy my grave. And all of this my Redeemer did with skin on. And that skin felt the Roman scourge, every crack of the whip. That skin felt the blazing hot Palestinian sun as he carried his cross. That skin felt every thorn that was jammed down onto his brow. That skin felt those nails driving through his hands and his feet. Skin and muscle and nerves for 6 hours, agonizing hours, bleeding on the cross, all alone in that long, dark, God-forsaken hallway called Golgotha, with giants attacking him from every direction. The soldiers, the scribes, the Pharisees, the crowds, the mockers, and of course, Satan himself, all bent on destroying him. And they killed him. They killed my Redeemer. Now, who will rescue me? But on the third day, this cry, this confession of Job rocked the world. I know that my Redeemer lives. And now we have reached the very summit of Job's majestic confession, which is, in a way, ironic these days, isn't it? That as we celebrate the apex event of our Christian faith, that we also stand together at another tragic apex, having reached, it seems, a peak of daily COVID-19 deaths. Today, nearly 2,000 Americans will die of that virus. And then on top of that, another 7,000 or 8,000 Americans will die of other causes, as they do every day. And we are bitterly reminded, like Job, why we need Easter. And why we need our risen Redeemer. How exhilarating then is this day of days that brings us to the heights of hope, to the pinnacles of peace, and to the culmination of all comfort. Here at the summit of Job's lofty confession, we stand together on top of the world, along with the angels who rejoiced to proclaim, He is not here, He is risen, as He said. And along with Peter and John who ran to the tomb only to find it empty. And along with Mary Magdalene who testified, I have seen the Lord. And along with those Emmaus disciples who recognized the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. And Thomas, too, who when he saw the wounds of his living Redeemer, climactically said, My Lord and my God, my Redeemer lives. Death is dead. The grave is defeated. the free gift of eternal life is absolutely and eternally yours in our risen Redeemer. And now, however ominous is your long dark hallway, however threatening are your giants, you do not walk alone. Because He lives. All glory to His name. He lives. My Jesus, still the same. Oh, the sweet joy this sentence gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.